Praise the Lord. Welcome to the service tonight and the preaching of the word. The message tonight will be out of Revelation chapter 6, the seven seals of Revelation, the seven seals of Revelation. And Revelation is a series of visions, and one of the main visions in the book is the seven seals, and we want to look at that. But let's do an intro to get up to chapter 6 really quickly. Revelation 1:1. The final book of the Bible, the revelation of Jesus Christ, that is the unveiling, the revealing of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. The book is the revelation of Jesus Christ, his power, his presence, his purpose, his person. It's about the forever triumph of the Lamb and how the Lamb will reclaim the planet and the universe and redeem mankind and restore things back to the way God intended them to be. Revelation 1, we have a vision of the glorified Christ. If you recall from your reading, eyes like a flame of fire, his head and his hair is white like snow, his feet like bronze glowing in a furnace. This was the majestic Christ, the risen Lord, the glorified Lord. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, he's walking among the lampstands, the local churches, the seven churches of Asia Minor, representative of the churches of the New Testament age. He's walking among them. He's adjusting them. He's commending them. He's encouraging them. He's rebuking them. He's warning them. He's promising reward to the overcomer. He speaks against formalism, impurity, laxity, lukewarmness. He said, keep the fire burning. Keep the church bright. Keep the lamp and the fire of God burning in the churches in the midst of this dark world. Jesus is in the midst of the churches. Then Revelation 4:1 opens with this verse, 4:1-2. John says, after these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here. John, come up here into the heavenlies, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately, John says, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. John was caught up into the heavenly realm, into the very throne room of God. He saw the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He saw the 24 elders. He saw the four living creatures. He saw the company of the redeemed. He saw a multitude of heavenly hosts praising and worshiping God. Chapter 5 and verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of the Father, I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals, seven bits of wax on the edge of that scroll, as was the manner of ancient custom. Seven bits of wax, that scroll was sealed. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. John says, so I wept much. This holy weeping that took hold of him, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, perfect might and perfect sight, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. That scroll, I agree with those who say that scroll is the title deed to the planet. It's the legal document that marks the ownership of this planet and of this world. That scroll, as John sees it in 5:1, is in the hands of the Father. That scroll was given to man in the beginning of time. It was given to Adam, the one commissioned to govern this planet, to rule and reign this planet under God, to create a wonderful world of righteousness and beauty. But we know what happened. Man fell to the temptation of the serpent. Satan fell to deception, to disobedience, rebellion against God, and sin. And in that hour, the world was plunged into darkness, and man fell to ruin, and the planet fell to decay. The God of heaven said, I'm going to take that scroll back into my hands. Until one comes who will qualify to rule and reign this planet again. This scroll stays in my hand. This title deed to the planet stays in my hand until the one comes who can break the power of Satan and sin and restore this world in righteousness. John says, no one was found worthy to take that scroll and read it or even to look at it. And John began to weep because he knew what was at stake. If no one is found worthy to take that scroll and open the seals, this world will spin on forever in its delusion and darkness, death, misery, disease, and sin, until man eventually destroys himself under the power of Satan and his own sin. One of the elders came over to John and said, John, dry your tears. One has been found. There is one worthy. There is one worthy. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root and the offspring of David. He's just come off the battlefield of Golgotha, where he's defeated the power of Satan and broke the curse of sin and death in this world and upon mankind. And John looked up, and he saw in the midst of the throne, he saw a lamb with fresh blood on its wool. This lamb had been newly slain. This was the Lord. This is a picture of the cross and Christ's redemption. He said, I looked, and John's watching, and he says, I see the lamb. The lamb went over to the Father and the throne, and he took the scroll. And when he did, all of heaven broke up in shouting and praise and adoration. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and blessing and honor and glory. Glory be to the Father, the one who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb forever. And now we come to Revelation chapter 6, the opening of the seals. The opening of the seals. These seals, as the Lamb opens the seals, John sees a vision. So the Lamb broke the first seal off the edge of that scroll. We have to note that what John was seeing now in vision was not what was in the scroll. The scroll was the title deed. He broke off a seal and all of a sudden a vision opened. The scroll and the book of Revelation are separate. What John saw in vision, that's what he put in this book. This book is a description of the visions, but the scroll is separate. And John began to see things that would take place on the earth. John's writing, circa 95, AD 95. 65 years have gone by since the ascension and the enthronement of Christ. What is going on in this world? I thought Jesus was coming back. I thought Jesus had conquered everything. What is happening in this world? And the Lord gave the revelation to let us see what's going on in this world from a spiritual point of view and to see behind the visible and to see what's going on in this world. Some of these things that John sees are age-long. There are many visions in this book. Some of them interface and relate to one another. This book isn't a chronological sequence. Well, chapter 6 takes place, and then chapter 7, and then chapter 8 down through the book. It's a series of visions. Some of the visions have some sequence in them, but many of them are simply a vision of unfolding events. Well, Jesus opened the first scroll, and John saw a white horse. Revelation 6, 1-2. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. The conquest of the earth, the first seal, the white horse, is Christ and the gospel. Christ and the gospel. The Lord riding out across the earth. The first seal is the liberation of the planet through the advance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Psalm 45, verses 3-5, a messianic psalm. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and your majesty. And in your majesty ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness. And your right hand shall teach you awesome things. Your arrows, King Jesus, your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. Jesus Christ is riding across the planet and has been since the day of the early church. He's conquering and to conquer. He's triumphing again and again. His arrows, the Bible says, are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. Those arrows are arrows of truth. Those are arrows of conviction. They strike and they stick deep in the heart of people. We were once enemies, the Bible says, Colossians 1:21. We were alienated and enemies from God in rebellion and in our sin. But one day, Jesus Christ shot some arrows into our heart. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And those arrows came into us and subdued our sinful nature, and now we ride with the Lord, conquering and to conquer, spreading the message of the gospel of salvation across the world. Matthew 24:13. The Bible says, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." It says as well, the gospel that Jesus is carrying will go to the ends of the earth, and then will the end come. That's the first seal, the white horse. The second seal, the red horse. War and bloodshed in the earth. You know, some troubles and calamities that come on the earth are because of man's own cruelty and the depravity of his own heart. Some things are man-induced and man-imposed. Revelation 6, 3-4, when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. The red horseman rides. It's the cruelty, the brutality of war, the scourge of war on the planet. Think of the wars of history, the brutal conflict, the untold suffering, the countless loss of life. And that red horseman still rides. Crime, terrorism, ethnic cleansing, genocide on the planet, weapons of mass destruction. Man now has the capability to destroy mankind from off the earth. The red horseman rides. Matthew 24. 6 to 8, Jesus said, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled." My, we can get troubled about those very things. "See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows, the birth pangs for the new heavens and the new earth." The red horseman rides. No man has power over the red horseman. Man against man, brutality, conflict, wars. As long as there is war in the heart of man, there will be war in the earth. There is only one who can bring peace, and that is Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Jesus is the peace, and when Jesus brings peace to the heart, he can bring peace to the world. The third seal, the Lamb broke off the third seal, and a vision opened up, a black horse. Famine and want. Revelation 6, 5 to 6. "When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, 'Come and see.' So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine.'" This black horse, famine and want, scarcity of provision in the earth. A quart of wheat for a denarius? A denarius was a day's wage. And here is a man who takes his entire wage for one day and buys enough wheat to grind into flour and make bread to feed him for a day. Or if he buys the lesser grain barley, he can feed a family of three. Just enough to live without even any provision for other necessities. Famine, scarcity, prices driven up, as is the case here, to an unreasonable cost. Supply and demand, such a scarcity that prices went up to that level. Pestilence, famine, deprivation, even starvation and death on the planet. And tonight, a good portion of this planet barely has enough to survive day after day after day, like close to 20%. The black horseman rides. The greed of man, lack of compassion, all the logistics that are needed, control of the peoples. The black horseman riding in the earth. Say, well, don't blame God. God has supplied enough food to feed every man, woman, and child on this earth every day. It's a distribution problem. It's not a supply problem. But there, because of the hardness of man's heart and all the cruelty that's there, let the people live in poverty and deprivation. And then he says, don't hurt the oil and the wine. Yes, you can spiritualize it, but I think in the context, it should be like the grain, the bread, the oil and the wine. He says, do not harm the oil and the wine. And those items speak of luxury, of affluence. While people are starving in this world tonight, in refugee camps and other places and can barely survive with their families, other people are living in absolute luxury with more money than they could ever use up in a lifetime and beyond. Such is the disparity in a broken world. The Black Horseman still rides. Fourth seal. The Pale Horse, Death and Destruction. Revelation 6, 7 to 8. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. Wow. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. What a horrific scene. The pale horse, death and destruction. This represents widespread destruction on the planet. The unrelenting onslaught against human life and well-being. These are quite the forces. Revelations, Book of Revelation is pulling back the veil. Come on, people. See what's really happening. Get involved. Don't fall asleep on the planet. There's a warfare. There's things going on that we need to know and understand. The pale horse, a ghastly, sickly, greenish-colored horse. The rider is called Death, the Grim Reaper. And behind him, Hades, gathering in the souls of the earth. Hades means the unseen place. And it's a general description for hell. This is the widespread destruction on the planet. This pale horse doesn't have any relation to the Christian because we're not under the power of death and Hades. We've been delivered. We have eternal life. We're under the power of the Lord. But this pale horse rides in the earth. Plague and diseases and pestilence. Destruction and disasters. I mean, you can read your feed every day. Scores of people here, hundreds there, thousands there. There's an endless swath of destruction across the planet. Satan, using any and every means he can to drag people down hopelessly into hell, into a Christless eternity. This horse rides in the earth. Fifth seal, persecution and martyrdom, an age-long threat against the righteous. Revelation 6, 9 to 11, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were completed. The fifth seal, persecution and martyrdom against the righteous. Can be economic persecution, occupational, can be relational, physical persecution. This hatred against God and the Bible. Now, thank God, we live in relative security, but there are many places on the planet where there is no security tonight. From this persecution and martyrdom. It's a constant threat for the Christian. Many people are giving their lives for the Lord today, sometimes resisting unto blood and giving their lives. We know that every year, for many, many decades from now, at least there are tens of thousands of Christians being killed every year for the name of Jesus because they believe in Christ and want to follow him. Jesus is encouraging his people. Listen, this is one of the situations. This is one of the troubles and trials that's going to be on the earth until Jesus Christ comes again. And there are pockets of this kind of martyrdom and the resistance that's required for it. You know, the blood of the martyrs. The blood of the martyrs. I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain. In the Old Testament, the blood of the sacrifices was poured out under the altar of burnt offering. And here's a picture of these wonderful saints of God, our brothers and sisters, who have resisted unto blood, and their blood spilled at the altar as they've given their lives in sacrifice unto the Lord. The persecution of the saints. Sixth seal. The day of wrath. Judgment day. Say, well, I didn't think it would show up this early in the book. Well, it shows up a number of places when we have eyes to see it. Revelation 6, 12 to 17, I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come. And who is able to stand? That's judgment day. That's the end. The world that has filled the cup of iniquity overflowing until the judgments of God fall. The good news is when that seal opens and that judgment takes place, we've been already caught up to be with the Lord. You say, where's the rapture of the church? Right before the sixth seal, because we are not delivered to the, or we are delivered from the wrath to come, Romans 5, 9. We will not experience the wrath of God that is poured out on this wicked world, this God-rejecting world. But this is judgment day. This is the end. The sixth seal takes us to the end. Well, what about the seventh seal? That doesn't show up till Revelation 8, 1 to 5. Revelation 7, there's another vision, kind of a digression, we could say, another vision of events that take place throughout the New Testament era. And then Revelation 8, 1, the Lamb opens the seventh seal. And that seventh seal contains some important information relating to the sixth seal. It confirms judgment day, and then that seventh seal opens up in a new set of visions called the seven trumpets. Let's go back to Revelation 6, 1. Let's have the worship ministry come. The rider on the white horse. Let's close out with this. Revelation 6, 1 to 2. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. Christ and the gospel, the liberation of the planet, going out to every kindred and tongue and tribe and people, every nation of the world with the gospel. Jesus said this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. The first seal is so beautiful. Jesus Christ riding in conquest across the earth. He's got a bow in his hand. He has arrows. Well, let's take another view of it. Psalm 127, 4 to 5, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. Yes, King Jesus. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. They will not be ashamed. They will not be defeated. They will not be brought down. These warriors, these children, will speak with the enemies in the gate. Jesus Christ has arrows. They're his sons and daughters. They're the children of God. We are the arrows of the Lord tonight. And he fits us in his bow and he shoots us out, some near, some far, some to a mission field, some to the ICU department in the hospital, some to the school classroom, some to the trade site. Jesus shooting out his arrows. The Bible says we are his arrows. He wants to shoot us out. Think of yourself as an arrow. Think of yourself every day. Jesus Christ, put me in your bow today and shoot me out into the office. Shoot me out on the streets of this city. Shoot me out wherever you want so I can be an influence and bring some change and bring some life and bring some blessing. Shoot me out as an arrow so I can carry the love of Christ and the truth of the gospel and bring down some of your enemies, O Lord, so they too can be redeemed and come under your loving care, under your reign and rule. The Bible says, these will not be ashamed. They will speak with the enemy in the gates. The gates were the place where enemy forces contended for spiritual victory. Jesus said, my people, my arrows, my sons and daughters will not be ashamed. They will not be defeated. They will bring down the enemy at the gates. They will speak. They will prophesy. They will conquer. Because Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. Just say, Lord, shoot me out. Shoot me out tomorrow morning, Lord. Pull back your bow and shoot me out. Let me have a spirit of faith that I know that I'm being shot out, that I'm commissioned for today, that I'm going to do some damage to the enemy, that I'm going to bring some life to people. Shoot me out, O Lord. Bible says, once we were sinners, Romans 3:23, we all had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Greek, to miss the mark, the picture of an arrow that couldn't hit the mark. But now, because of Jesus Christ and his work and his redemption, we can hit the mark every day and we can live for the glory of God and serve his purpose. Hallelujah. He's got fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand. And he's riding a white horse across the land. And he's calling out to you and me, will you ride with me? And we say, yes, Lord, we'll ride with you. We will stand up and fight. Let's stand together tonight. So many things going on in the world. The horsemen are riding. You can see it every day. It's broadcast everywhere. But we know that Jesus Christ is going forth to win the souls, hearts of men and women across the planet. And then shall the end come. Let's offer ourselves to the Lord tonight. The altars are always open. If you have a special need you'd like prayer for, maybe you're here and your heart is cold. You haven't walked closely with the Lord. Maybe this unveiling tonight has alerted you to the spiritual battle and to you and how you should be involved. You say, I'm coming back. I'm going to ride with Jesus. I'm going to be an arrow. I'm going to get sharpened up again. I'm going to get the character of my life sanded so I'm smooth and I can fly through the air, and I'm going to get some structure on me, some feathers, some fletching, so I can hit the mark for the glory of God. The altars are open. Let's close out in worship tonight.